Welcome to Through the Word, leading you on a journey through the entire Bible, one chapter at a time. Today, Peyton Jones guides us through the Old Testament book of Leviticus. Now to Pastor Peyton.
Leviticus chapter 20 today on Through the Word. It's time to talk about some grown-up stuff today. That's right, little Johnny, scamper on in and talk to the folks again. This Through the Word broadcast has a PG-13 rating for themes of sexuality and sexual references. No child under the age of 13 will be admitted without the company of an adult to today's broadcast. Switch it off. That's right, little Johnny, get out of here. Scamper. Talk to Mom and Dad. Come back if they're cool. Glad we sorted that out. Okay, now that he's gone, let's jump into chapter 20. Chapter 20 has to do with not ripping yourself off, either spiritually or sexually. You know, there is a connection between your soul and your sexuality, which 1 Corinthians brings up. More about that later. Verses 1 through 9 have to do with your soul. Verses 10 through 21, your body. Let's read verses 1 through 5 to hear what God has to say about our soul. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Say to the people of Israel, any one of the people of Israel or the strangers who sojourn in Israel who gives any of his children to Molech shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones. I myself will set my face against that man and cut him off from among his people, because he has given his children to Molech to make my sanctuary unclean and to profane my holy name. And if the people of the land do at all close their eyes to the man who gives his one children to Molech and do not put him to death, then I will set my face against that man, against his clan, and will cut them off from among the people, him and all who follow him in, whoring after Molech." Using a word like whoring, it's easy to see how God connects the spiritual activity of our lives to the sexual activity of our lives. Both have to do with the betrayal. In both cases, we're either using someone else like a god or letting someone else use us, as in the case of sacrificing our children. And the same with sexuality. We can use others or let others use us to get what we want. Again in this chapter, God says, "I am the Lord your God." The link between who God is and who we are is very powerful. In James Michener's book, The Source, a book about Israel, he tells a tragic story about an Ammonite man who lives in the time described in Leviticus. Unfortunately, his religion requires he sacrifice a child to Molech. Told through the eyes of his wife, the author records one final thought before we leave the characters in their anguish. She bitterly broods over the thought that if her husband had worshipped a different god, he would have been a different man. In this chapter, God's not messing around. We see him threaten death 9 times, and the crimes listed here are high. Killing your children, sleeping with animals. But death threats aren't the highest motivation for obedience. God's hoping they would see who he was. Therefore, in verses 7 and 8, he reminds them of who he is. He says, "Consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am the Lord your God. Keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord who sanctifies you." Remember that God was so radically different from all they'd ever known as slaves living in a grotto, carousing like wild animals, where anything went. They desperately needed to hear God say, "I am holy, I am different, I am completely other, and I want you to be too. I want you to change, I want you to be different." That would have come as a welcome relief, particularly to those that were being victimized by a society with no rules. Of course, we do know that you weren't allowed to murder a slave, as Moses found out, simply because you were eliminating Pharaoh's workforce. But as far as what they did sexually, who cares? As long as they got the work done, right? Wrong. That's not what God says. God cared about them. He wanted them to not get hurt. He wanted them to see his love, his kindness, his grace. He wanted them to embody that in themselves, receive it from him, and give it to others. Moving on to the next section, verses 10 through 21, again, are about sexuality. Years ago, there was a hip-hop song that implied that we were nothing but mammals, and it likened our sexual activity to what animals do on the Discovery Channel. Without quoting the song, you get the point. But after talking about our soul, God then goes on to lay down laws about sexuality. Simply put, sexuality affects our spirit, our soul. Paul brings this up in 1 Corinthians, and here we see the groundwork laid down for it. When you understand who God is and that he values every person he made, you start to see people a little bit differently. At the core of every one of us is our soul, that which was made in the image of God. Therefore, God in the Old Testament, when he commands people on how they treat each other, he often mentions, "Do not do such and such to your neighbor who is made in the image of God." Not only is our culture completely obsessed with sexuality, it's forgotten that we have a soul, and it's gone amok. Our culture has turned sex into a bunch of physical urges and compulsions where one person uses another to gratify their physical desires without any thought about who they are as a human being. The strongest longing of a person, however, is their soul, not their body. Society would make you believe that all of your drives, including your sex drive especially, is the most powerful. But did you know that you have five different drives that are much more powerful? For example, you're using one of them right now. The oxygen drive. You're breathing. Hopefully you're breathing. In fact, that drive is so strong that if I get you in a chokehold and lock you out, you'll eventually pass out. But guess what'll happen as soon as you do? You'll breathe. But all of those drives are nothing compared to the drive in your soul to love and to be loved. When I adopted my little baby from an intensive care unit, she didn't put on any weight because she was using all of her calories to breathe. However, because she was hooked up to a machine and no one ever held her, she didn't thrive. When my wife got there, my wife held her all day, every day, for weeks, and she doubled her birth weight within 2 weeks. This isn't an isolated case. They've actually documented this in countless orphanages. And that's what physical and sexual relations are meant to communicate, love. Therefore, in this long laundry list of sexual taboos we see in these verses, we find God saying, don't objectify each other. Don't treat each other as objects to fulfill your sexual lust. Instead, value each other. You see, marriage is a time where you commit to the whole person, not just their body. You don't use them, but you appreciate them. You absorb all that they are, their mind, body, soul, personality, everything. You'll find the phrase repeated in this passage where it talks about uncovering someone's nakedness. This refers to shame. In the Bible, nakedness became a picture of our shame. Therefore, clothes are a symbol of dignity. In the sex trade, more and more, more adult entertainers are coming to faith as they share their testimonies. They always chronicle that somewhere along the line they stopped believing they had value. The loss of personal worth or dignity led them to do things no sane person or healthy person emotionally would normally do, unless they had a desperate desire to please others and have love and affection in any way they could get it. In fact, almost every adult movie star was at some time in their lives sexually abused by a trusted older man in their family. That betrayal was so great that it devastated their psyche, leading them to believe the lie that they were nothing but an object to be used. Oh, how Jesus turned that around when he met a prostitute. The woman at the well found the same thing. Jesus taught them that they weren't objects to be used, but souls worth loving. God tells the Hebrews in verse 26 that they have value. You shall be holy to me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and have separated you from the peoples, that you should be mine. He wants you. He wants your heart. He wants every bit of you. Therefore, he says, give me your souls, give me your bodies. Stay separate from the madness, and let your soul be the biggest part of you. Read Leviticus chapter 20 today, understanding the value God has for you, and knowing that he really loves you. Really does.
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.